Good evening, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our Harvest Thanksgiving service tonight by singing together the first hymn in our hymn sheet. It's a well-known harvest hymn. We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends the snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft, refreshing rain. 732, we'll keep our seats while we sing as our sister leads us in the organ, please. We just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Let us look to the Lord afresh. We knew His blessing amongst us this morning, but we need the Lord afresh tonight to come and bless us. Let us pray to that end, that the Lord will draw near and speak to our hearts through His word this evening. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we bow before Thee tonight with thanksgiving in our hearts and in our souls, O God, for all Thy goodness and all Thy mercies and all Thy grace toward us. And Father, we come in no merit of our own, but we stand tonight upon redemption ground. We come through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour of sinners. He who is the bread of life. He who bare our sins in His own body to the tree. He who is alive forevermore and seated at Thy right hand in heaven's glory. And Father, we thank Thee tonight for the wonderful victory of the cross, that through what Christ did upon the cross, through that atoning death, and through His glorious resurrection, again from the dead. We thank thee, O God, that through Christ we have eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, the glorious inheritance of heaven, peace, O God, with thee, and the wonderful riches of thy grace to meet our needs day by day. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight afresh for the harvest time. We thank thee for the sowing of the seed in the fields and the crops. And we thank thee for the gathering in of the harvest. And we realize this comes from thy bountiful hand. Realize, O God, it is but a token of the love and the mercy and the grace of our God. For thy word tells us that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from thee, O God, the Father of mercies, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And Father, we return thee thanks, though we are undeserving, O God, of the least of thy mercies. Yet, O God, we thank thee for thy goodness in the material and physical harvest. Lord, we pray for thy blessing tonight in this meeting. We thank thee for thy presence and blessing with us in thy house this morning. But Lord, we cannot rest upon past blessings. We need thee, Lord, afresh, O God, this evening. Draw very near, O God. Outpour thy Spirit upon us. Grant us a real, gracious, conscious sense of the presence of God in this meeting house tonight, O God, we pray. We thank thee for all who have been able to come to the house of God. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Remember every believer, every child of God in this meeting place. Bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them. For any, Lord, going through times of trial and difficulty, Lord, encourage them. Any that might be wandering afar from God, Lord, restore them. For any with us, Lord, in this gathering, still unsaved, unconverted, Lord, speak to them. And even, Lord, tonight may it be the night of their salvation, when they will start out on the road to heaven. We thank thee for the great promise of Christ, that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Bless thy servants, Lord, have come to sing. We thank thee for them. We pray that thou wilt bless them and guide them and direct them in those messages that thou would have them to bring. Do bless them, Lord, and make them a blessing, we pray. Remember thy servant also has come to preach thy word. We thank thee for bringing him here in safety and for fellowship with him in the gospel. Bless him tonight as he preaches thy word. Give him help, that help that comes alone from the sanctuary of God. And bless him and use him tonight as the Lord's messenger. In the Lord's message, we pray. And that through those words there'll be souls pointed and directed unto the Savior, we ask. Remember, Lord, any who cannot come tonight, some who cannot come because of age and sickness and infirmity, others, Lord, who may be shielding, others tending the bed of sickness, Lord, bless them and minister to them. And Lord, wherever thy word is faithfully preached across our land, across our nation, we pray that thou wilt own it and bless it, we pray, that thou wilt bind the powers of darkness in these days in which we live, and that many might be saved out of the devil's clutches, we ask, and brought into the family and the glorious liberty and light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be with us now, we pray. Shut us in, Lord, with thyself. Glorify the Savior. And Lord, may we be able to leave this meeting house tonight knowing of a truth, Lord, that thou hast been here, that it has been good for us to have been here. For here, Lord, that we've met with thee. Answer prayer, O God, for we ask these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen. Now, we're very glad to have with us tonight the Rainey family, some of them anyhow, from Tullyvallen up in County Armagh, South Armagh. But we welcome them in the Lord's name. It's nice to renew fellowship with them again in the gospel. And we've always been blessed through their ministry and song. We're going to ask them now to come and bring their first messages and song. Thank you and God bless you.
Your prayers have been in vain, though your faith the world would destroy. it seems that your heart would break. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Though the mists of despair cloud the sky above,
thank you.
special thank you again to Winifred and the girls for coming and singing. And our prayers the Lord will bless those messages to every heart. And the Lord will bless our sisters as they've sung for the Lord. They'll be coming again a little later on again to sing for us later on in our meeting. Now we're going to turn tonight in God's Word for our Bible reading to the Old Testament book of Exodus, Exodus chapter number 9, the 9th chapter of the book of Exodus. We're reading from verse number 13 of the chapter, just going down to the end of the verse number 26. You'll find Exodus at the beginning of the Old Testament, the second book of the Bible. We're reading tonight from Exodus chapter number 9, beginning our reading at the verse number 13. Let us hear God's precious word as we read it together this evening. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as have not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 26. And our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, this is the second of our Harvest Thanksgiving meetings this week, and we want to welcome you all in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered out with us this Lord's Day evening, and we bid you a very special welcome, and it's nice to see visitors in our gathering. We trust you'll feel at home. If you're a believer tonight, may you be encouraged in the Lord, your Savior, and afresh in his goodness and mercies to you. But if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as Savior, that's the desire of our heart, that's the prayer of God's people, that even tonight you'll come and put your trust in Christ and rest upon him alone for your salvation. I'd like to give a very special welcome also tonight to our guest preacher, our good brother in Christ, the Reverend Raymond McLernan, ministered for many years in our church in Tullyvallen, and he retired from that. Then he went up to Bush Mills for a number of years, 5 years in total, I think, and then in another retirement. So dear knows where he'll go next. Maybe they'll send him to some other part of the world, but we welcome him also, and his wife Rona as well. It's nice to fellowship with them again in the gospel. And our prayers the Lord will bless our brother tonight as he ministers God's word, that he know God's help and blessing upon him in the preaching of the word of the Lord. Remember the final Harvest Thanksgiving meeting tomorrow night, Monday night, 8 o'clock. We encourage you to come along, pray for the meeting, invite and bring others with you under the sound of God's word. Our brother, the Reverend David Priestley, will be along to bring God's word. And our sister, Mrs. Amanda Reed from Dungannon, will be along to sing for us in the gospel. So remember that. Normally on a Monday night we had a harvest supper, but that's not the case this year due to the circumstances in our land. But trust that will not deter you from coming, that you'll come for a greater feast, that spiritual feast around the word of God tomorrow night. So do remember that, please. Thank you to all who helped with the harvest decorations, all the ladies who helped with that, and all who provided provision for doing that work so well. We thank you sincerely in the Lord, and trust the Lord will bless you for this endeavor and this labor of love for the Lord's house on this occasion. Tuesday night here in the church, 8 o'clock, is the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I belong to take that meeting. Encourage you, believer, keep Tuesday night free and join with us for the season of prayer and Bible study. Friday night, 8 o'clock, the youth fellowship meeting here in the church. And our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, will be along to bring God's word to the young people. Pray for the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather, and that they'll know a good night of fellowship together. The children's meetings will be off this week due to the midterm break from school. Next Lord's Day, the 25th of October. Again, please note, Sunday school and Bible class is off due to the midterm school break. But services, as usual, 12 noon and 7 p.m., and I belong to bring God's word. Pray for those meetings and plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Also, our session are planning to have a communion service, and that will be in the first Lord's Day of November after the morning service. That'll be November the 1st. So do pray for that. No doubt there'll be certain guidelines in place and precautions, but pray for it. The Lord has told us in his word. He says, "This do in remembrance of me." And we trust as many as possible able to gather God's believing people on that occasion to remember the Lord's death in his own appointed way. Just in accordance with the new government guidelines, it's now mandatory just to wear a face covering when you enter and leave the house of worship. I know there are exemptions for those that have certain medical needs, and there are masks provided in the hallway. And also, anyone wishing to wear a face covering during the service, you're most welcome to do so. I suppose all we need now is a set of dark glasses, and we'll be joined up to some of the paramilitaries or something like that with all the regulations. But that's how it is. No doubt we want to keep you all as safe as much as possible. So do remember that, please. Also, just as you leave, just please remember to maintain social distancing in the vestibule, the porch and the steps outside. So do remember that. This weekend, all the offering goes to the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade. So do remember that and give liberally as the Lord would have you give. And then, as we mentioned this morning, do please pray for our brother, Dr. Alan Cairns, and his wife. Both have the virus at this time. Her brother's ill in hospital with it. And just pray for them that they'll know God's help and God's healing. Understand there's been an improvement with our brother. So do pray on for God's healing hand. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We don't take up an offering now during the service, but there's baskets at the rear there that you can give to when you leave the service afterward this evening. Now we're going to ask now the Rainey family to come and bring their final message and song. Thank you. Special word of thanks again to the Rainey family for coming and singing for us. And our prayers, the Lord will bless that message to every heart. How good it is to be able to sing and say, I'm saved, I'm saved. I wonder, can you say that tonight as you sit in the meeting tonight? Honestly, before the Lord, can you say, I'm saved, I'm ready for heaven. I know the Lord, I've trusted the Lord for salvation. Nothing more important, I tell you, in life than for you to be saved and to be ready for heaven. We thank the family for coming. We pray the Lord will richly bless them as they sing for the Lord, and the Lord will just lead them on with himself and for his honor and for his glory. Welcome again, our brother, Reverend McLernan. Nice to renew fellowship with him in the gospel and through Bible College many years together. And we've always been good friends in the work of the Lord. And we welcome him tonight. And we pray the Lord will richly bless him as he brings God's word, that he will truly be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message this evening. Thank you.
I want to thank Mr. Porter for his invitation and his warm words of welcome. And it's good to renew fellowship with him and to be with you here in Enniskillen this evening. I was especially encouraged when I heard the Rainey family would be singing at your harvest. It's lovely to see you again. The Lord bless you. You haven't lost your touch. It's got sweeter as the years go by, and it's just lovely to hear you again. We have many fond memories of the work there in Tullyvallen, and I have to say, and I'm not one for singling people out, but if ever there was a family that supported us in the ministry, it was the Rainey family, and I thank God for every remembrance of them. Can I invite you to turn, please, to that passage that Mr. Porter read for us in Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, and a few thoughts on the verse 21, where we read, "And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." With God's word open before us, let's just stand for a wee word of prayer. We'll seek the Lord's help. And can we encourage you, beloved, when you pray tonight, maybe you're not in the habit of praying, maybe you don't know the Lord, well, you should be praying, "Lord, give the preacher a word from my heart. Don't let me miss hearing thy speaking voice." These are very uncertain times we're living in. We don't know what may be around the corner. Just heard today of a young man up our way between Lisburn and Moira, travelling home at 3 o'clock this morning. In the darkness of the night, a cow appeared in the middle of the road. There was a collision, and that young 18-year-old was launched into God's eternity. If that had been you, beloved, where would you be now? If you're not saved, you'll be in a lost sinner's hell. Will you pray now that the Lord would show you, if you're not saved, show you your need and give you the grace to trust Him for full salvation? Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for an open door and the opportunity afforded us once more to proclaim the message of the gospel. Oh, we thank Thee for that glorious truth that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Oh, we ask, Lord, Thou come even now, prepare every heart, defeat the devil, take away every wandering thought, every thought into captivity, cause none to be heard but Christ. May we hear Thy speaking voice, hide man out of sight. Lord, come and just take Thy word here and by Thy Holy Spirit, carry it home to the hearts of those who are without a Savior tonight. And our prayer would be that grace would be given. That dear man, that dear woman, that young person would come, recognize their need, recognize I'm the sinner for whom Christ died. Know that there might be a willingness to have done with sin. That dear one would cast himself upon the mercy of the Lord. Blessed to this end, we ask of Thee, and grant that as a result of this meeting time, Christ would be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Here's a passage of Scripture. Admittedly, there's no mention of harvest in it. But, beloved, as you look at it, and we think upon it, the law of harvest is certainly evident in it. What's the law of harvest? The law of harvest is that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You reap after you sow. You reap more than you sow. I wonder what you're sowing tonight. Are you sowing neglect of your own soul's eternal well-being? Are you rejecting God's free salvation? You sow neglect, beloved, and you will reap a woeful harvest. If ever we needed evidence of the warfare between God and Satan, you have it in the behavior of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his dealings with the children of Israel. If ever there was a display of stubbornness and stupidity, we have it in the repeated refusals of Pharaoh to let the Hebrew people leave the bondage of Egypt. In fact, at this juncture, all Moses was asking for was that the people be allowed to go 3 days' journey out into the wilderness, that there they might worship God in peace and quiet, away from the bustle of everyday Egyptian life. And any believer will recognize, if you want to have a quiet time with the Lord, you can't do that with the din of the world echoing in the background. There are times when you need to be alone with the Lord. Shut out the world and just have that quiet, peaceful time, just you and the Lord. That's precious to the believer. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you can't focus upon the Lord, as we've been saying, if the din of the world is ringing in your ears. Well, here's Pharaoh. And he showed himself again and again to be an agent of the devil. For he had no respect for God. Indeed, very little conception of just who God is. He despised God's people. And even after the Lord sent him plague after plague, still his heart was as hard as ever. The man was so anti-God, it's scary. And you know, maybe there's one in this meeting tonight, and God has warned you, maybe time and time again, about the consequences of your sin, but you still haven't repented, and you haven't taken Christ as your Savior. You continue to shut the Lord out of your life and to reject the claims of Christ upon you. You might not be hard against the Lord at all, but beloved, you need to give heed nevertheless. If you're not saved tonight, you need to give heed lest you, like Pharaoh, push God too far. And he has to come and cut you off as he did with Egypt. Now, obviously, you have some respect for the things of God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be found in this meeting. Now, although Pharaoh was a ruler in Egypt, a position which put him above many, yet his attitude, well, he's just like many an ordinary common 5'8". Men are always looking out for themselves. Personal home interests generally engross and occupy the major part of men's thoughts. But we discover that when it comes to religion, when it comes to the matters of the heart, men don't want to think about those things. And yet there's nothing more important in this life than the welfare of your eternal soul. Why is this, that men will live for everything and anything, but the one thing that's most important, the one thing that needs the most urgent attention, that's the one thing men don't want to think about? Why is that? It's because the devil has deceived you. People live with this idea, huh? Some know they need to be saved if they ever want to see God's heaven. But they seem to live with this idea, someday it'll just happen, and I'll end up saved. Beloved, it'll never happen unless you do something about it. And you need to come as a poor sinner. Acknowledge your need of a Savior. You need to lay hold upon Christ. Because if you don't, you have no hope whatever of seeing heaven. I'm not saying that to be offensive to anybody, but people are slow, even reluctant, to pay attention to what is, after all, the most important thing in this life. Men will put much emphasis upon education, upon material well-being, upon financial progress, and all these earthly things, but all too often the expense of one's own eternal soul is either just overlooked or completely ignored. And Mark 8:36 asks that question that so many never seem to give any heed to. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Well, nobody's ever going to gain the whole world, no matter how hard they may try. But even if you did, there's nothing to be gained by losing the soul, no matter what this world might promise you. We've heard Christians say, you know, it would be nice to have such and such to leave to your children. Yes, I'm sure it would. But beloved, the best thing you could leave your children is the influence of a godly life. Strive after an inheritance in Christ. Teach that to your children. That's worth more than a million worlds. And we see people going about their daily business who show no sign of any interest in eternal matters. Whether you die a millionaire or a pauper, it'll not make a button of difference in eternity. All that matters is that you have repented of your sin, received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You need a Savior. There is only one, Jesus Christ. We're appalled today at the sort of things that are being taught to young children, your grandchildren. And it just seems to get worse every week. And beloved, when you look at some homes, parents are probably not aware of it, but they're literally rearing children for hell. Why do I say that? Because they refuse to acknowledge their own need of a Savior. They do not teach their children the need of a Savior. Why do people need a Savior? Because we're all born in sin. How often, beloved, have you heard this same message? Yet, does tonight find you still unmoved, unrepentant, unsaved, unready? Should that sudden call come, that young 18-year-old in the early hours of this morning, I know nothing about him, but I wonder, was he ready for eternity? See, we don't know what a day may bring. Is your heart, beloved, as hard and stubborn as Pharaoh's was? I don't know if that hardness is intentional or not. But as long as you neglect your own soul's eternal well-being, you're in the same danger of perishing. And we must ask you to give earnest heed to God's word. Your eternity is at stake. Our finite minds can't grasp just what eternity is, but it never ends. And whenever you close your eyes in death, you go into God's eternity, either in heaven with Christ or in hell without him. Which is it to be? A couple of things I want to notice here. Notice firstly the disregard of the word of God. Now, if you've heard anything at all about the plagues that God sent upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, you'll know that they numbered 10 in all. And let it be said that God was very fair with Pharaoh, because the Lord not only told him that the plagues were coming, but he offered him a very simple way of escape. Now, this message, listen, it's so simple, a child will understand it. There's nothing highfalutin here. All Pharaoh had to do was let those Hebrew people go from under his cruel hardship regime, but he refused. In other words, he was prepared to take his chances that what God said he would send upon him, either he could endure, or God didn't really mean what he was saying. Beloved, you don't mess with Almighty God. If God says something's going to happen, it'll happen. In this instance, God sent Moses to warn all the people. He was going to send hailstones that would destroy their cattle. Now, notice the simplicity of this. If they wanted to see their livestock spared, all they had to do was bring them indoors. What could be simpler? Verses 18 and 19 of the chapter. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. So they got 24 hours' notice. The plague is coming. The hailstones, the thunder, the fire, it's coming. 24 hours' notice. Not everybody gets 24 hours' notice of death. That young man in the early hours of this morning didn't get 24 hours' notice. He hit that cow, and life was over. No notice, no warning. Send therefore now. What could have been, what was hard about that? What's hard to understand there? Couldn't have been any plainer. But you know, there are people today who would say, what sort of a God would do that to poor animals? And why should he destroy men with this brutal hail, these hailstones? Listen, beloved, God didn't want to destroy anybody. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Therefore repent, beloved, quit with sin. Cast yourself upon the mercy of the Lord. That's what you have to do. Why then do people determine, I want my sin? What does the Lord have to do to get people to see this? You know, he distinctly warned people, bring your livestock indoors and they'll be safe. It's that simple. Come yourself as a poor sinner. The door of mercy is open. Receive Christ. Trust him to be your Savior. He's promised to blot out all your transgressions. And to save the whosoever will. Scripture says, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You take that step, leave your sin, embrace Christ, trust him to be your Savior. He's promised he'll save you. Him that cometh to me, Jesus said, I will in no wise cast out. Why do people not come? God made the declaration that the hail would come. All people had to do was give heed, because God keeps his word. Now you have the people's response there in verses 20 and 21. Notice what it says. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. What sort of mentality is that? Men were given a very simple choice. Either leave your livestock in the field and let them perish. I don't know if we have any farmers in our audience tonight. But I'm sure you, if you are and you have livestock, I'm sure you care about them. And if this warning was brought to your door, this time tomorrow, your cattle will perish if you don't bring them into the shed tonight. Would you bring them in? Or would you say, we'll just ignore the warning? That's what happened here. Men were given a very simple choice. But then, beloved, the same choice is given when it comes to salvation. God's word warns you to finish with sin or you'll perish in a lost sinner's hell. But hide yourself, come into Christ and hide in him and you will live eternally. Ignore the warning and perish, trust Christ and live. Simple choice. What are you going to do? You're going to gamble on it? You think God doesn't mean what he says? It's a case of repent or perish. Is that serious? So, why don't men repent? How hard was Pharaoh's heart to repeatedly reject God's demands, even after the dreadful destruction he had already experienced during the earlier plagues? I mean, it's not as if they had all happened overnight. Those other plagues, if you read, study Exodus, those other plagues that had so affected the land of Egypt had been going on over a period of somewhere in the region of 2 years. God has smitten the rivers of Egypt, all their waterways, and everything turned to blood. That caused a literal stink. But it was a crashing blow to the nation's economy, because Egypt depended very much on the fishing industry. This was their food supply. It must have taken months to recover from that one, and that was only one plague. It was followed by other divine interventions that caused more hardship than anybody wanted to know about. It was all because of the stubbornness of this man, Pharaoh. Now, when you think of it, Pharaoh must have had a terrible hold on those Egyptian people. Doesn't matter what your standing in life is, beloved. Whether you're rich or poor, famous or unheard of, educated or uneducated, successful in the eyes of this world, or just a dropout in society, it doesn't matter. One day, your soul will leave the body you live in. And you'll go out into eternity, either to be with Christ, whom you trusted in time, or to be eternally lost, banished from his presence in the lake of fire. Simple choice, very solemn choice. There is no more serious matter that you could consider. As we said, our finite minds can't begin to imagine what forever will be. Beloved, if you die unsaved, you will lament for all eternity that you didn't take the step and come. And I'll tell you something else. You will remember Sunday evening, the 18th of October, 2020, when you sat in Bethel Church in Enniskillen, and you heard a poor preacher plead with you to flee to Christ. When you miss heaven, the very thoughts of this meeting will hound you forever and forever. The whole nation here, every man, woman, and child, suffered the effects of those plagues. Yet, the multitudes still went along with Pharaoh. But worse than that, even if they didn't like what was happening to them, still they refused to countenance the word of God. And that's the worrying thing. Verses 20 and 21, he that feared the word of the Lord, notice that, among the servants of Pharaoh, made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Some men just would not hear the word of the Lord. Isn't that what's wrong today? Men don't want the word of God. They don't want to hear about it. Is Britain any better? Is Ulster any better tonight? I mean, over recent years we saw England suffer those devastating floods and so on. But did people come out in droves and say, it's time we sought the Lord? Did it bring national repentance? I didn't hear about it. Did anybody say, this is the hand of God, this nation of ours needs to repent of her sin? Not happening, is it? God's word is disregarded. Yet, that very word clearly shows righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Why is this nation in such a mess? Because they've shut God out. Pure and simple. Well, men have changed laws that are now in direct opposition to God's law. When are they going to learn? Beloved, men disregard God's law to their peril. And it's time that people wakened up. What's the cry these days? Black lives matter. Well, of course they do. So do white lives. But if black lives matter so much, why do black mothers-to-be murder 1,000 black babies in the womb every day? Is that how much they matter? Did you know that in 2019, across the face of the earth, 42 million babies were aborted? 42 million. That's in 1 year. Black and white. And they tell us life matters. No fear of God. I'm not allowed to smack children anymore. Our youngest daughter works in a nursery. You know, they're telling her now, it's degrading to allow a child to play with a plastic hammer. Let him play with a real one. Does that mean you can, it's degrading to let him play with a plastic gun? Get him a real one? This is being pumped into, this is Northern Ireland. This is society in 2020. They've lost their marbles altogether. God is not in society. I have to move on here. Notice, secondly, the devastating repercussions. Verse 22, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that it may be heal in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. That was some devastation. I understand Egypt is 76 times the size of Northern Ireland. Can you imagine that all wiped out in a moment of time? If this visitation showed Pharaoh nothing else, it showed him that God has power. And when God speaks, he means what he says. As with the other plagues that had gone before, this one would bring the world's attention to the presence and power of the Almighty. Now, in verse 16, God says, and in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Now, I have to reiterate here, God did not bring this man Pharaoh into the world to send him to hell. God raised him up and then left him to his own wicked devices, to show that how deceitful his heart and our hearts really are, and how powerful God himself is. Although Pharaoh was a man with power, still God is sovereign. And he was able to demonstrate to Pharaoh, and indeed to all the world, that no man can outmaneuver God. Nobody will ever outwit the Lord. Only a fool would even consider it. This plague, indeed all the plagues that came upon Egypt, they were sent by God because Pharaoh was playing the big fellow. But his actions were evil, and God simply turned the tables on him to bring glory to himself. Some men glorify God by their obedience to his word. Some by their disobedience. Now, if you're wondering how that can be, it is the case that God is glorified through righteous judgment that men receive because of their disobedience. Here was a move of God that was devastating. But it was only devastating to them that disobeyed that simple command. Get your cattle indoors. That's all that was asked of them. Get yourselves indoors. They wouldn't do it. And poor, if you're unsaved, beloved, I say this with love for your soul, you tonight could be sitting on the very edge of hell. And in Jesus Christ's name, we urge you, get yourself into Christ tonight if you don't want to perish. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Why? Why do people not come? Why do they think they'll work things out better themselves? Oh, the devil has people deluded, hasn't he? Egypt had recovered somewhat from their previous plagues, but because of this simple act of disobedience, this one wiped out much of that recovery. The judgment that God has sent on this occasion touched areas that had hitherto been untouched. That is, it involved the deaths of many Egyptian people. Some people didn't like thunder. Maybe you don't like thunder. I can remember as a child when we heard thunder, my mum got us to hide under the table. It wasn't going to make the thunder go away. Okay, it kept us out of sight of the lightning. We were told, don't let the dog lie at the fireplace when there's lightning because the dog attracts lightning down the chimney. I don't know where they got that one from. It never hit our dog. Now, beloved, there is something about thunder, isn't there? It can scare people. And very often it makes people think, is God angry? Well, my Bible tells me God is angry with the wicked every day. Yet we don't hear thunder every day. But here was a thunderstorm, the like of which had never been heard or seen ever before, nor since. It was accompanied by lightning that actually ran along the ground, and there came hailstones with it. And we're told that a number of people were killed, either hit by lightning or by the hailstones. And that is possible. You read, isn't it in Joshua chapter 10, where the Lord sent hailstones and more people died by the hailstones than they did by the sword. I used to have a newspaper cutting. I've lost it, but it was out of the Belfast Newsletter way back in 1995. The report of a hailstorm in southern China. It brought down telephone poles, it wrecked people's homes, and I think a number of lives were actually lost. They said the hailstones were the size of basketballs. Can you imagine it? Is that what the Lord sent here? You know, the Lord's not limited to those wee tiny white things. And God moves. He moves in no uncertain fashion. You read in 1 Samuel 7 and 10 that as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. The Lord can use the weather to win his battles for him. Thunder in Old Testament times was seen as an instrument of divine displeasure. And again, it was Samuel who said, is it not wheat harvest today? I will say unto the Lord, and I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. Job said, Job 26, 13, 14, by his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? Isaiah, in pronouncing God's wrath against the city of Ariel, said, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with the earthquake, and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. And God's thunder certainly made Pharaoh sit up and take notice. But then the old, wicked, hard heart came into play once more, and Pharaoh remained unrepentant. Has God challenged you, beloved? Has he allowed some circumstance to put the wind up you? Maybe you've got over it. And tell me, what will he have to do to get you to quit with your sin. Because your sin will damn you. Yet God is willing to forgive it, to blot it out. Didn't we say already? It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the Lord's not an angry big ogre sitting up there waiting to come down upon you with judgment and with wrath. He's a God of mercy. You've sinned against him every day you live. But he offers you deliverance, eternal life. How can you spurn it? To reject Christ is to volunteer for hell. Who'd want to do that? Notice lastly here the dreaded outcome. Now, this text does suggest some people at least did give heed to the warning. They took care of their animals. Verses 20 and 21. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left them in the field. Evidently, the message was delivered through the whole land of Egypt, and there were those who gave heed, thankfully, and took their animals into the shelter. Some decided they weren't going to let Pharaoh intimidate them, so they took God at his word. But others chose to ignore the warning, and it cost them dearly. Because it cost them everything. But isn't this how it is with the gospel message? You see, the whole emphasis here was on the word of God and man's attitude to it. The warning was clearly given. The thunder and the hail are coming. Tomorrow, about this time, isn't that what God said? And so the way of escape was exceedingly simple. Stay outside and perish, or get inside and be safe. A child would have understood that. Nothing ambiguous about the message. Plain as day. Reminds us of the words of Ezekiel 33, where the prophet says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head." He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Same principle, isn't it? But Ezekiel goes on to say, "But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear my word, hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me." Beloved, I had other messages that were more inclined towards this theme of harvest that I'd like to have brought to this meeting. But the Lord ruled that out and gave me this word. The Lord has sent us here tonight as a watchman to blow a trumpet. And if somebody were to sound a trumpet in this building, I think you would hear it. Its sound is distinct. Beloved, hear this distinct sound tonight, please. In God's name, don't miss hearing it. Your sin will cost you everything. It will take you to hell. But Jesus Christ loves you tonight. He proved that by dying on the cross so you wouldn't have to. And he offers you free salvation. What are you going to do with it? Mr. Porter is God's watchman in this community. And I would know he has faithfully warned you, maybe time and time again, flee from the wrath to come. Hide yourself in Christ and be safe for time and eternity. Beloved, I don't want your blood on my hands when I meet God on Judgment Day, and neither does Mr. Porter. That's why we urge you, get a hold of this. You're not a sinner because of some wrong you've done. If you've done anything wrong, it's because you're a sinner. As we've often said, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. We are born in sin. And no amount of religiosity, pious activity, you name it, there's nothing will ever fit you for heaven. But salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's written across the front of the balcony there. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is your only hope. Get into Christ and you'll be safe. And you can put your head on the pillow tonight and know it's well with the soul. But you reject God's offer of mercy. And he's willing to blot out all your sin. I don't know what your past is. I don't want to know. None of my business. But God knows. And every sin you've ever committed from the day you first breathed oxygen in God's earth, it's all recorded in heaven against your name. But he's willing to blot it out. If you'll come and say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Save me by your grace. What is your response to the Word of God? Because we've seen Pharaoh's response. We've seen the response of the people in Egypt. They ignored it. They rejected it to their peril. Those who gave heed to the Word, they were spared. They were safe. When God gave that warning to Egypt that the hail was coming, that was all the warning they needed. About this time tomorrow, so they had 24 hours to get their livestock indoors. I don't think it would take that long to get them all in, but God was giving them plenty of time. Beloved, God has given you all your life to get into Christ. Does tonight find you still running after the world? Still rejecting him? Oh, I pray God will give you the sense to trust the Lord, to seek him for mercy, and to do it. Oh, don't wait 24 hours. Because the scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. His Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Always remember, the law of harvest applies. You'll reap whatever you sow. You sow neglect, you'll reap an awful harvest, an awful eternity. And we don't want that to happen. God doesn't want that to happen. Jesus Christ is passing this way tonight. Maybe you came to the meeting on the invitation of a friend. Listen,
It was the Lord who brought you here. He brought you here to speak to your heart. And he wants to save you tonight. Not tomorrow. Tonight. Will you let him? Will you trust him? Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come tonight? Finish with your sin, no matter what it is. Lay hold upon Christ. Start out for heaven and home. God give you grace to do that for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I'd like to thank our brother tonight for the faithful preaching of God's holy word. The Lord bless that message to your heart, to your soul. If you're not saved tonight, that you would heed the warning note that has been sounded, that you would seek the Lord and come to the Lord even tonight and trust the Lord for salvation. If you're concerned tonight about your soul, we encourage you to trust the Lord. If you'd like to speak to our brother after the meeting, he'll be in no hurry away. He'll be glad to take time with you, open up the Word of God with you, and show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. Know your sins forgiven, but you coming and putting your faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. Nothing more important in life than you to be saved, to be ready for heaven. We're going to close our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 230. It's a gospel hymn. It speaks about the harvest, and it's a warning hymn. It says, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. If you're not saved tonight, man, woman, young person in the meeting, heed the hymn writer's voice. Be in time. We'll just keep our seats while we sing, and thinking of the words as we sing them, as our sister leads us in the organ, please.
Be in time. Jesus called to be in time. If it sent you longer with, you may find open gate, and your cry be just too late. Be in time.
I'm just going to close the meeting with a word of prayer. Myself will not be going to the door just due to the circumstances, but if you want to speak to us after the meeting, we'll be up here to the front. Just as you leave, take your time and empty from the back of the church, pew by pew, and give each other space. We appreciate that. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us here in Thy house, the singing of Thy praises, the reading, the faithful preaching of the Word of God, the warning note that has been sounded forth. Bless that word, apply it to hearts and souls in this meeting. We thank Thee for those that have heeded the warning voice, those who have made the Lord their choice. But Lord, for any in the meeting as yet who have not trusted the Lord, even tonight, may they come in faith and in repentance unto Him whom to know is life eternal. Take us now to our homes in safety. Give us travelling mercies homeward, we pray. Return us again in Thy will tomorrow night. Pour out Thy Spirit upon that final meeting of the harvest weekend, and visit Thy house here in this corner of Thy vineyard with salvation. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, giving Thee thanks. Amen.